Welcome to Eva and Dan Science Podcast. I'm your host Pallavi, and you're tuned into another exciting episode of Tech Trends 2024. In this series, we delve into the upcoming tech landscape with our leading tech consulting partners. In today's episode, we'll be exploring industry cloud platforms. To set the context, industry cloud platforms are digital hubs tailored for specific businesses, boosting efficiency and collaboration. To facilitate the discussion further, we are joined by Abhinav Jory, our EY India Tech Consulting Partner in Cloud and Digital Transformation, who will be guiding us through this dynamic space. With a diverse global clientele, Abhinav's expertise spans across technology, digital natives, hyperscalers, private equity, e-commerce, and mid-market organization. Thank you for joining our podcast, Abhinav. It's a pleasure to have you in this episode.
Thank you very much, Pallavi. Pleasure to be joining this podcast with you today.
Thank you. To start off with a core discussion, Abhinav, could you explain the difference between generic public clouds and industry clouds?
Absolutely. It's a good start. It set the context as well. And cloud per se as a technology has been around for some time. You know, so when we think cloud, we tend to think about a bunch of the compute and storage being made available by a third party. It's just that you're not owning it. And then it's also then loaded with a bunch of utility softwares, productivity tools, which perhaps you can use as a bundled offering for your business purposes. What has happened over the past several years is the organizations have realized that while the power of cloud is immense, there is a particular need wherein the utility of the cloud has to converge in terms with the business context. And that led to the arise of something called as industry clouds. So to speak very simply, industry cloud or industry cloud platforms, as they are also called as, they are designed to meet very specific needs of an industry sector. It's just that those needs are not adequately, or many a times not at all, served by the generic clouds. So one can expect highly specific and contextualized use cases and enabling technology stack, which is very purpose-led and very specifically built to support certain kind of a business components. It could be business processes, it could be an operating model, it could be nuances of your own sector, for example, a pharma or a BFSI, manufacturing, retail, so on and so forth. So we may particularly consider industry cloud as very verticalized form of clouds, which are very co-centric to the business context.
Thank you, Abhinav. Now let's dive into the value proposition. According to you, what benefits do industry clouds bring to sectors?
Great question, Pallavi. So the benefits of industry cloud are very straightforward. Now, if you remember, in the beginning of the podcast, we did speak about how industry cloud is different from a generic cloud. And we did speak about what are the different components which differentiates it. So let's build upon that and let's think it through. Industry cloud, as we said, they offer a comprehensive suite of capabilities which are tailored to the specific needs of the sector. Now, because they are tailored to specific needs of the sector, organizations are capable of consuming the full power of the cloud in the form of one single unified technology stack, from infrastructure to application to data to most of the user-specific tools, and readily deploy them for the business processes. Now, what it does, it takes away the whole headache and heavy lifting of complex engineering, which an organization would have done if they would have consumed the resources from a generic cloud. So not only it adds value, but it also makes lot of tooling, lot of components from the cloud in a very composable format. In addition to that, the organizations do get benefited by means of enhanced security, which often happens to be a very inherent feature of generic cloud, but because the security requirements are contextualized to, let's say, a regulatory ask, to certain standards, to certain requirements which are very specific to business, as we spoke earlier. So the security requirements are often taken into account by design as the companies consume the industry cloud for their business process. So most of the issues which they often may encounter, let's say during external audits or internal audits, or often as an obligation to report back to the authorities, they come as a preset, pre-configured controls, and which also proves to be a lot of cost saving. Reason being because you're not putting in a lot of effort, in fact, almost zero effort to think about those controls, to design those controls, and to implement those controls. So very mission critical priorities of the organizations with respect to the nuances of the business process for their sector gets pre-served in a very unified consumable format. I think that's a very big benefit which organizations can look forward while they adopt industry cloud platforms.
Thank you, Abhinav, for those valuable insights. Moving on, what are sovereign clouds and why are companies increasingly gravitating towards them?
Good one. In fact, this question is right on the spot given very recent developments within our country itself. But then let's go to the definition first. So a sovereign cloud is a cloud which is designed and also built to provide access to the technology stack, which is in compliance with the local laws and regulations. And therefore, any sovereign cloud service provider, what do they ensure is that they ensure that each subscriber's data or each tenant's data is protected from access which is outside the country, and also ensures that it is processed, stored in compliance with the originating country's data privacy mandates. It's a great leap in the way cloud technology has been thought through. Now, let's take an example. Most of the CSPs, or they are called as cloud service providers, they are global in nature, with the distributed data centers across a variety of regions, different regions across the world. Now, what happens is an organization, let's say, is operating out of India or headquartered out of India, having very local operations and not beyond the boundaries of the country, they might find it very difficult to establish trust with the global cloud service providers. Reason being because they may not necessarily be always sure that where their data is being stored and getting processed. Not only that, they may not also have a clear visibility on who are those people, who are those employees of the third party cloud service provider who are responsible to manage the infrastructure and the softwares which are running on those infrastructure while they are subscribing to those to the capacity wherein their data is being stored. So it's a combination of the trust with respect to the data being processed, stored, and also the trust and an ability to have a clear sight of operations by the manpower who is responsible to operate on that infrastructure, which is being served in the form of a cloud to a variety of subscribers across the world. What a sovereign cloud does, it provides a very unified, defined, boundaried scope of operations for the cloud providers by which they are able to provide a greater level of assurance to their consumers, wherein they are able to establish that their data is within the boundaries of their operations of the country which they are operating in. Second, the infrastructure and their mode of working is fully compliant to the laws of the land. And not only that, it also gives a greater comfort that the data or the components to which they have subscribed to are not leaving the boundaries of the nation or the country they are operating in. So I definitely see that as the cloud technology adoption increases worldwide, I believe that there would be a time in near future where every country would think and plan for a sovereign cloud for themselves. And we see that this will lead to not only the wider adoption of the cloud technologies, it will also lead to the establishment of the bigger, powerful data centers within the developing nations such as India. And the biggest benefit of sovereign cloud going forward will be that the organizations who have been on the fringes and they have been very skeptical about moving on to the cloud, they would be able to establish a greater amount of trust and perhaps would be very open in adopting these new and emerging technologies, which will have a direct benefit on their business. So we are looking for a future wherein, irrespective of your business size and business scale, including your operations, whether local or global, the cloud technology will become such a leveling play that you would be able to consume every technology being served through cloud, which a larger organization would be able to afford. So in terms of just thinking about what it means and what it holds for the businesses, sovereign cloud is definitely one very promising area, which could also prove to be a threat to most of the global cloud service providers.
Thank you for those excellent insights, Abhinav. Now, could you also share some specific examples of how industry clouds are making a difference in sectors like BFSI, energy, utilities, and healthcare? In addition to that, according to you, what are the common challenges that companies face while choosing and adopting industry cloud solutions?
Sure. Well, there have been early adopters of industry cloud across multiple sectors. So, for example, banking, manufacturing, retail, health services, to name a few. We also understand that non-traditional sectors such as media and agriculture, they have been very enthusiastic about the prospects for their business as they think about adopting the cloud. So it would be difficult to say that there are any sectors in today's time which A, are not thinking, and B, may not have progressed to a certain extent when they think about the cloud. In terms of the use cases, well, it's very fascinating that in the early days of cloud, it all started with a story around infrastructure. When everybody said that, hey, I've got tons of metal residing in my own premises, which is very heavy on the CapEx, but I don't want to continue operating like that. And that's when the cloud came into picture saying, let me take you from a CapEx to an OpEx model, wherein you don't really own anything, but you just consume just because somebody else own it, and then you continue to pay as you consume it. So it almost became a service model. In today's time, the story has pretty much changed, and it is important to appreciate as we think about the use cases, because use cases have themselves matured with the way the cloud itself has matured. So we moved from infrastructure to the applications, and that became software as a service, which then continued to mature platform as a service, where you have consumable, computable, developable components being made available as a service. Now, this massive jump from infra to software to platform, this has given way to the imagination of the businesses in terms of what all they can really achieve. So, for example, if you think about BFSI or financial services as a sector, we know that payment banks have just sprung up quite a lot in the past few years. And when there's a payment bank which is thinking of starting off with an absolutely greenfield business, they don't really have to think about setting up huge data centers and buying large, massive compute and storage just because they need the tech backbone to be strong. But when they think about just getting to the market with pre-curated business processes, which can help them to onboard customers once acquired and start immediately providing them with the services, industry cloud is the answer. So what happens in this case is they not only get personalized customer experience through the pre-built digital assets and services, but they also get tailored solutions which are enabled for time-bound upgrades and also catering to the various aspects of banking stacks from technology and from functional, which eventually minimize the risk. So payment modernization solutions, which are now available via industry cloud, which eventually helps many of the, let's say, greenfield payment banks to launch their operations very effectively with real-time payment data, which allows their customers to send money anytime, anywhere. And we have also seen that, especially in the insurance sector, the cloud solutions are offering pre-built advanced analytics, automation, and data integration capabilities. And these are very heavy-duty, complex engineering, software architecture conversations. All of these complexities have been taken away by these insurance cloud solutions. And eventually, it makes them help to drive better decisions across their enterprise by combining all of their enterprise value chain functions, such as finance, actuarial, investment, or even data management. Likewise, we are seeing a great adoption in another sector, which is energy and utilities. Now, we know that cloud platforms, which are enabling implementation of large-scale smart grids, which is helping them to drive the accuracy while they monitor and control the energy distribution network. It's a great use case. And we know that in the energy and utility sector, all the services are being targeted to general public as a consumption, that too with huge amount of complexities, which includes geographical spread, climatical conditions, inability or challenge around making establishment for operations and monitoring. So such cloud platforms, which are able to provide unified ways of monitoring and control, is a fantastic use case. And not only that, these solutions are often very differentiatedly positioned when it comes to helping understanding the risks, the operational cost, simply because they have power of the data. It's all central, it's processed centrally. So they are able to drive deep amount of insights through AI leverage analytics. They're able to connect multiple stacks, which could be very heterogeneous in nature. And it also helped them to drive a lot of asset optimization. Energy utility sector is very, very asset heavy, very capital investment heavy. So these solutions not only help them to drive the optimization around the asset, but also help them to sweat it out. And lastly, the portfolio management of the asset categories or the product categories and the proactive maintenance are some of the very appreciated benefits which the clients within the energy utility sectors are finding very recently. So these are some of the examples, and I really encourage our listeners to please take a moment and to read our Industry Cloud report, because that continues to talk about some of the live examples and case studies from other sectors as well, Pallavi.
Thank you, Abhinav. We have one last question for you. Looking ahead, what are your predictions for the future of industry clouds, and how do you foresee emerging technologies such as generative AI and edge computing influencing and shaping the landscape of industry cloud offerings?
Well, what we're observing across all the sectors, that the focus on data and emphasis on what data can really do for the businesses is getting more and more intense. And therefore, most of the organizations, they view industry cloud as a very strategic conversation and initiative when they think about their business multiplier. With the advent of artificial intelligence and generative AI, the erstwhile focus on digital transformation is only gaining more importance. And in my view, the urgency of undertaking digital or AI-led initiatives for every industry is becoming very, very real. Now, core to such initiatives, there will be three important imperatives. First, ensuring enterprise-wide data strategy and architecture. Second, having a clear vision on platform and products, its strategy, and its roadmap. And lastly, but the most important, is having a solid and versatile engineering talent. Industry cloud becomes the conduit which brings all the three imperatives to reality by providing business and technical capabilities which organizations would need to have in order to deliver such transformation successfully. Lastly, given that evolution of technologies is happening at a speed which is very difficult to match by any of the user organizations, the best way to continue to remain a beneficiary of such path-breaking innovations, the industry cloud is the right hook to latch on.
Thank you, Abhinav. That brings us to the end of this conversation. Once again, thank you for sparing the time and sharing such detailed insights on industry cloud platforms. It has been an enlightening conversation.
Thank you very much, Pallavi, for having this time with me and giving me an opportunity to share my thoughts. Thanks very much.
It's a pleasure, sir. Thank you to all our listeners. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel across all our podcast platforms. Stay tuned for more episodes as we continue to unravel the latest in tech trends and innovations. Until next time, this is Pallavi signing off.